Do you know how it feels when you're helpless? I am helpless every time I'm lying in the dentist chair. My mouth propped open, a wad of cotton under my tongue. All this while the dentist chatters on, asking questions that can only be answered by some type of subhuman grunt. And this happened to me not long ago, and the dentist, the good guy he is, was just making conversation, and he said, you know, he said, when I was in dental school, the dean said to look to the person on your right and then look to the person on your left, and he said, within 10 years, one in three of you will be in trouble with family problems, drugs, alcoholism, suicide. And I said, you know what? I had a similar experience. In seminary, the president of the seminary, one day in chapel, he said, now look to the person on your right, now look to the person on your left. And he said, do you know that one in three of you will leave the ministry in 7 years, and out of the other two, only one of you will retire? And in both cases, we're dealing with cold, impersonal facts. But nevertheless, they strike a somber note of reality. And you know, most common is the reason things just didn't work out. Now, how tragic that is when that kind of attitude begins to infiltrate the body of Christ. When folks say, you know, I just think I'll give someone else a chance. I just don't think I'll get involved. I think I'll take a back seat. You know that helpless feeling when you're working on a project and there's a tool missing in the tool belt. Or that utensil you need to do that baking is broken and you can't find it. When the attitude of things just don't work out begins to infiltrate your life. We're in this series now on 2020. And we as a church family have gotten together and we've been praying and we've discerned our mission. The reason why we exist is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's why we are here as a church, to make disciples. We're the only club, society, organization, if you will, that exists for the benefit of non-members. To help people find peace with God and to know the love of Christ and experience the joy of forgiveness and to have the hope of eternal life. And we said we're going to carry this out in four ways. One is to have passionate worship, a place where people can encounter God. Two is to strengthen our family ministry so that the love of Christ is offered to our children and youth and young families. Other is to have evangelistic outreach so that we're not just giving a loaf of bread to people, but a cup of living water. And a fourth, we've said, is adult discipleship. Opportunities for spiritual formation where we can be nurtured in our faith and grow in love, faith, and hope together. And today, we're particularly lifting up before us adult discipleship. And guess what? That's everyone's job because we can't grow for you. We can't pray for you. We can't serve for you. We can't go to a small group for you. And there really, if you stop and think about it, there are three things that everybody needs to do to be part of this mission that we're on. One is to find God if you haven't already. Everybody needs to find God and know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Number two, you need to find a friend. You know, it's hard to get through life. And I don't know where I would be without friends in the church. And a third that you need to do is find a job. Because all of us are given these gifts and graces to serve in the body of Christ. And I remind you, you're not serving the board. You're not serving me. You're not serving the staff. You're not serving, quote unquote, the church. You're serving God. There are two great moments in a person's life. One is when you're born, And you know how that experience is. Mom and dads are crying. Joy floods the hearts of grandparents and aunts and uncles. It's a wonderful moment when a new life is brought into the world. Exciting for the family. But there's another moment I find that is so important. And that is when you realize your reason for existence. It's totally liberating. Even just at that level when you're at college and you realize what it is you're supposed to do. And how even more so when you realize your reason and your purpose for existing. Now, when you read this text, as Sarah has read these words before you today, it's really telling. Apostle Paul says so much to us about the giftedness, the spiritual gifts that have been given. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand about spiritual gifts. And notice he says here, he's enriched your church with gifts. God says, I gave you these to be used, and they have a purpose. In verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. And that means everybody has a spiritual gift. In fact, you probably have many. And whatever your spiritual gift, the body suffers really to the degree that the gift or gifts aren't used. Now, this is not a difficult metaphor, I think, for any of us to understand, because you know that the feet walk, the teeth chew, the eyes see, the ears hear. And in these verses here, you notice there's this reoccurring pattern of thought that while there are many members, there are one body. So as you reflect deeply about this text, there's some things just that I want to lift up as spiritual truths here for us. And this comes here right before that great love chapter that we often hear at weddings and so forth. And here Paul says to us, first of all, that do you realize you people are graced? You're really blessed. You are of infinite worth in the eyes of God. Now, sometimes we need to be reminded of the plain obvious. Do you ever read some of those warning labels that you find on the products you buy? Here for a couple years, I have been writing down some of the interesting things that you see on some of these products. And there was one, it was a box containing an iron. And it said, do not iron clothes while on body. And a hairdryer with these words, do not use while sleeping. And a major sleeping aid places on its container this solemn statement, warning may cause drowsiness. And I was on an airline one time, and the flight attendant handed me a packet of those nuts. And it just simply said the instructions, open packet, eat nuts. Maybe the problem is that things are so plainly obvious that we just need to be reminded. You are of incredible worth in the eyes of God. So much so that he sent his only begotten son to be your savior. And to give you hope. To help you understand your purpose and reason for existence. God loves you with an everlasting love that is not dependent on whether you're a starting player in the eyes of the world. Your value in God's eyes does not vary in proportion to your position in the church. Your value isn't dependent on how good you are or how bad you've been. We're all of value in the eyes of God. His love for us comes before we do anything good or worthwhile and lasts beyond our ability to make any kind of contribution to the church. He loves you just for who you are, and God has graced you and blessed you. Secondly, in this text, as we listen to what Paul is saying, he tells us here that we're grafted in. Now, we already know from the book of Romans where he's talking to us about Gentile and Jew being grafted in. But not only here have we been graced once we accept Christ, but we are adopted and become part of the family of God. I'm told that most fruit trees today are grown from grafts. and that is branches of a high-yielding variety are grafted onto a rootstock of a particular hardy variety of apple tree, for example, and they are grafted together, and the branches become a living part of an amazingly hardy tree, yielding even more fruit. And when we accept Christ, Paul is telling us here that God grafts us into the church family, and we become part of a living organism. Not just a club or society, but a living organism, part of the family of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And Paul reminds us the head can't say to the foot, I don't need you anymore. Or the ears can't say to the eyes, you're no longer needed. But all are needed in the family of God. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable. And we notice that every time we break a finger, or we have a paper cut, or one of our teeth begins to hurt. You know, the whole body kind of hurts, and you feel it. Paul said that since we are all of one body in Christ, helping each other, each of us needs the other. Now, I love the Olympics because, you know, those team sports really kind of make that metaphor understood. Even like bobsledding, you've got the driver, you've got the brakeman, you got the other person that's hollering out what's going on. Everybody has a role to play. On the hockey team, there's the goalie, there's the defenseman. You know, everybody has a goal, a purpose, a reason for existence. Paul says we've been grafted in. And then thirdly, not only this messaging of grace and grafted in, you're part of the family, but you've been gifted. Now, there's the writer there in 1 Peter 4 and 10 that even says it more directly like this. Each one should use whatever gift he or she has been given to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. Many people think that they got left out when those gifts were distributed, but right here is in writing for you that everybody gets a gift. Each one should use whatever gift he or she has received. In the Greek, the word that used literally means everybody. You didn't work for it, you didn't earn it, but you've been given a gift, and nobody's left out. And God calls us to use those gifts and to live up to our potential in Christ. No matter what the gift has been given, we need to use it in the body of Christ. The gifts are not so much, I remind you, for yourself, but for others. It's kind of like an apple tree that produces fruit, not for its own consumption, but for others. Your gift is given so that you can bless other people. And what a rich blessing it is in your heart and life when you use it for God's glory and for the church. We are really emphasizing this on this day of discipleship for everybody to get in touch with their gifts. Now, there's a website you can go to, and I've asked Jeff back there to put it up on the screen behind us. And for you to take some time, maybe this week, to go to giftstest.com. And a wonderful little tool that you can use to identify your gifts. Now, I know many of you have already done this, and that's great. It's always worth doing it again to confirm it or to provide encouragement. But this is a wonderful thing that you can do to find out the gifts and graces that God has blessed you with. And you know what, just kind of like Christmas, when you get those gifts, you want to tell other people. And so I hope that you will drop me an email and let me know what gift that you have been given, and we'll celebrate that together. The message here of 1 Corinthians is all about the power of unity. What if we would see our church family as a unit, as a body working together? Did you watch the Super Bowl? I wonder, did your team win? We found a clip talking about teamwork that I want you to see. It's a pregame interview with the Eagles coach, Doug Peterson. Maybe you saw it, but just last 1 minute. And let's watch this clip. I'm getting a signal, it's not working. Sorry about that. But in the clip, coach talks about how that they can only win by playing as a team. And everybody has some place on the team in which they contribute. Let me leave you this today that caught my attention this week. Unless the eye catch fire, God will not be seen. Unless the ear catches fire, God will not be heard. Unless the tongue catches fire, God will not be named. Unless the heart catches fire, God will not be loved. Unless the mind catches fire, God will not be known. I hope today that you will catch fire, your spiritual gifts that God has given to you will flourish and be used on your walk of faith as we all take this journey together and tell our story with other people and one another. Shall we pray? God, thank you so much.